Okay, my wife is on Christmas leave this week, so she's not going to sing for us. No, I'm not going to sing for us either. I almost called the Allen family, but they got such a workout here recently that I hated to ask them to sing again. But what a blessing it was for any of you who were here for the concert that was intended to be Steve Hanna. And Steve was one of those who came down ill at the last minute. But the fourth generation just stepped in and filled in the gap and gave us a special blessing, and we appreciate it so much. Amen. What's so special about Christmas? Why get so excited year after year? It's different things to different people, but I can tell you exactly why I care. Christmas is a time of celebration, recalling Jesus' birth on that holy night, the Son of God lying in a stable, turning utter darkness into glorious light. Yes, I have the Christmas spirit. It's the spirit of our Savior's love beyond what man has to offer. It's a special gift from up above. So when we think of that Christmas season, I hope that we can all agree that the significance of Christmas is what He's done for you and me. Each year when Christmas rolls around and we contemplate the season, we must not let the world's display distract from one true reason. Let's praise God for His mercy and thank Him for His amazing grace and make Christmas a time of worship until we see Him face to face. Now the title of my message is, what does Christmas mean to you? A lot of times I use those questions, and it's just a rhetorical question. I don't expect an answer, but this week it's different. I like to do different things. This is the Christmas season, and I'd like anyone who would care to share with us what Christmas means to you. Now, this can be based on childhood memories, or it can be based on what Christmas means to you today. But I'd like to hear from you. What does Christmas mean to you? Who would like to share?
It's a special name. Think about Christ and looking on about in the future where He took a red horse from down the road to that that He was born on that day. And we don't know the day or time, but thank God for the birth of Jesus that He has made and played the grave for us. Have a better place. I'm waiting for that and for this beautiful brother and for all the handiwork of creation. Not marvel at the time you put here for mankind and get man the knowledge to harness all of this stuff. I think about Mother Earth. You think about Mother Earth. Then everything we have comes from here.
Okay. We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? This is a time that we can praise by looking back. It's a time that we can praise looking around us, and it's a time that we can praise looking forward to those things that lie ahead. Who else would like to share with us? Come on, don't be bashful.
Well, when I was a child, if I looked forward to what was going to be under that tree.
Okay.
For me.
Okay.
But now I do think about things differently, and I have for a number of years, because I haven't been a child in a long time.
But, you and me both.
But I'm looking forward to going home with the Lord.
Okay. I think a lot of us are looking forward to that, don't you? Aren't you looking forward to the day when Jesus returns? I mean, I don't have a death wish, but at the same time, this whole world is not improving. It's not getting any better. And it just makes us long for that day when we can go home and spend eternity with Jesus. Anybody else like to share?
Christmas to me is...
Good and loud.
Christmas to me means now, as an adult, giving to those in need, giving to others.
Okay. Sometimes we take so much for granted that we don't realize that some people do without the things that we take for granted. I'll share with you a little personal story, and I may have shared this before. You know, I've done my research. I'm over 70 years old now, so I have the right to tell the same stories over and over. So you might as well get used to it. But I remember as a child, we were poor people. There were 11 children in my family, and my dad was in very poor health, unable to work. My mom never worked outside the home, but she worked plenty, taking care of those 11 kids and all that's involved with that. So we didn't have a lot of money. Christmas was a special time for us. I know one of the things that stands out in my memory is the fact that that's the time of year we had fresh fruit. At Christmas was the only time during the whole year, other than what little fruit we had on our property that we raised, that we would have oranges and grapefruit and stuff like that. To a large degree, it was the only time of the year that we had food in abundance, just all the food that we could eat, good, you know, celebration type of food. That was always a highlight for me. We were poor enough that for the most part, the younger kids didn't get new clothes. We always got what was called hand-me-downs. Are you familiar with those? Well, generally, as the older kids either outgrew or finally got new stuff, they would pass their clothes and so on down to us. And I remember one year, I had just started school, and I was looking forward to having some shoes to wear to school, because most of the year we went barefoot. The whole family would go to school barefoot. That's just the way it was. But I prayed about it, and I wanted some shoes. And that year, my older brother, Sam, decided he wasn't ready to give up his shoes just yet. So Mama found a pair of my sister's shoes. Kathy was just older than Sam. And so she brought this pair of shoes in, and I remember sitting there and watching her take the scissors and trim off those little bows that were on the top of those little black pointed shoes. Made them look a little less feminine, but they were still an embarrassment for me to go to school wearing my sister's shoes. And then Christmas rolled around, and I thought, well, maybe I just might get some hand-me-downs from somebody. And under the tree, when we finally opened our gifts, there was a brand new pair of shoes just my size. For me, brand new, and I was one of the youngest. That was an unusual event. Well, I didn't believe in Santa Claus, still don't in that sense, but I knew where those shoes came from. I knew that my prayer had been answered, and the first thing I did was go down to the little Methodist church on the corner of our property and kneel down on those concrete steps and thank God for my new shoes. You know, today I wear shoes and don't even think about it.
But today he still won't wear men's shoes with tassels on them.
She tries cutting those bows off still, and that doesn't work, I'll tell you. But we take so much for granted. We just assume that all these blessings that we have, everybody has, and the truth is that they don't. We need to put Jesus back in Christmas. If we must leave something out of Christmas, why must it be Christ? Of all the things to choose from, by which are you most enticed? Is it the chestnuts roasting on an open fire, or the packages dressed in bows? Is it shopping and spending, or old Saint Nick, or frostbite on the nose? Is it proper to replace the Christ in Christmas with nothing more than an X? Is the change from Christian to Xian what man will come up with next? Perhaps some think that the Church of X would sound a little funny. We could also place an X we trust on our good old American money. How can we say he's the reason for the season and then X out his name? I can't help but feel when we take out the reason, the season just is not quite the same. And I think it's high time we restore our Lord to his rightful name and place, and let us ask ourselves if there's room for him in the hearts of this human race. So if nobody minds, I'd like to suggest that we quietly put Christ back in Christmas. Do you share my thoughts that this would be best, at least for his chosen ones, to do this much? Never liked that phrase, Xmas. Now, my wife sometimes criticizes me for using so many of my poems and my sermons, but each one of these is not just something that I read somewhere and share. These are all things that I wrote myself, and they have special meaning. To me, each one is kind of like a little sermon within itself. So if you be patient with me, I'll share these sermons occasionally. But let's think about the history of Christmas, how we came to recognize this day of the year as something special. Do we know that Jesus was born on December 25th? No. Does it matter? It really doesn't, does it? That since we didn't know the day, we just picked one and we celebrate it, and there's not a thing wrong with that. And we need to keep in mind that it can still be a very spiritual experience. It can be a time of reflection, a time of appreciation for all that God has done for us. But just think about the setting of this pregnant lady traveling and not in the most comfortable way, and coming to a place where she hoped she would have some relief from the elements, from the weather, from the conditions, and yet to be told, sorry, no room in the inn. What a sad thing. Looks like they could have found a corner somewhere that they could throw down a blanket, make a pallet on the floor. That's what I grew up sleeping on. But no, they said, if you want a place to get away from the storm, you can go into the stable with the animals. That's not the best place to be at any time, but especially when you're bringing a new life into the world. I read in Luke, first chapter, starting with verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. Highly favored. That must have sounded strange. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou hast conceived in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. What was it that made Mary so special and so highly favored of God? Primarily, it was the fact that she was willing to submit and just say, I don't understand it, but if this is what you want, then so be it. You know, folks, we could learn an important lesson from that. We can learn to behave and respond the same way when God wants to perform miracles through us, instead of getting so caught up and concerned about trying to understand it. We can just say, God, I don't understand, but let it be. If that's the way you want it, if you want to use me, if you want to carry out a certain plan through me, then so be it. Are you that submissive? Are you that faithful, that trusting? Christmas is often thought of as a time of gifts, a season of giving. After searching through all the shops in March for just the right gift to touch people's hearts, through pushing crowds and stressed out clerks, a spirit other than Christmas everywhere lurks. So just what qualifies as the greatest gift of all? And can it be found in this exasperating mall? It is a magical gift, more real than Santa Claus, more accurately a regift with eternal cause. On a cross of shame it was offered long ago by the reason for the season that all should know. It can only be found when received for free, for the price was paid in full on Calvary's tree. It must be received before it can be given, and entitles the owner to an eternity in heaven. And each time you choose to give it away, you find it will still be yours day after day. So share the greatest gift of all this year. A gift of salvation will show that you care. It is sent for free, but only from above. Receive and give the gift of God's love. As soon as the Thanksgiving dishes are cleared from the family table, the world switches its attention to what many consider a fable, an ancient account of a virgin birth, which admittedly defies human reason, no less than the incarnation of God for whom we observe this Christmas season. Yet to many, there remains not a single doubt as to the story's truth, for they have become acquainted with that God who lived as a youth, who left his throne in heaven to live and die on Calvary's tree, to pay the price demanded for sin that all that would might be free. Yes, 'tis a season to be jolly, though not for the common excuses. This is a season to offer praise to God for his glorious good news. As we celebrate this coming Christmas, exchanging gifts of love, may we be reminded of the greatest gift that was offered from above, a gift that only Christ could give through his marvelous sacrifice to make our Christmas merry by paying such a personal price, to offer to each of us salvation and to cleanse us from our sin, to bring a special season of peace on earth and goodwill to men. So what does Christmas mean to you? Anybody else thought of a story or an experience that they'd like to share, or some feelings that come to mind this time of year? Yes, sir.
Well, you know, I remember as far back in 62 as a kid growing up in Brooklyn, I like the old songs that they sing, the holiday songs, you know, like Connie Francis and Dean Martin. You know, we love the way they used to sing this Christmas.
Amen.
Okay. Compared to today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That was before it became politically incorrect to include Christ in Christmas. That's before it became Xmas. Yes, ma'am.
Christmas means to me like getting together.
Good and loud.
Christmas means to me getting together.
Okay. Togetherness in a special way. It's a season for family, isn't it? I don't know about you. I know some of you know what I'm talking about, but I came from a large family. And at last count, I think I had almost 50 nieces and nephews and grandnieces and nephews and all that. Some of them I've never even met yet. They're scattered all over the country. But it's still a time that we can renew some of those family acquaintances and that oneness that we should feel. You know, our Sabbath school studies this quarter have really been good on unity and oneness in Christ. And that oneness should be not only in our family at home, but it should be in our family at church as well. We need that, folks. We need that spirit of unity and that spirit of oneness. Anybody else have something you'd like to share? What does Christmas mean to you? I don't give you a chance to talk during my sermons very often. You better take advantage of it. I see the wheels turning. I know some of you have thoughts in that brain. Somebody share with us. What does Christmas mean to you? As a child or as an adult? Yes, ma'am.
He said it's a time to get together with family and to reminisce over the year, share good thoughts and memories, good bonding with friends and loved ones, time to share good food and celebrate the birth of Christ.
Amen.
To others, it's a time to sacrifice and volunteer, give of yourself.
You know, it's not just the big events that stand out in our memory. I think back on some of our early Christmases, and we were, like I said, we were poor folks. Most of our gifts were things that we made ourselves. We would make gifts for one another. And even though they weren't expensive, they were still very much appreciated. I remember one year my brother Eldon got this bright idea that he wanted to give a gift to my sister Catherine. So he caught a mouse, and he put it in a little bitty box, and then he put that box inside of a bigger box, and then he put that one inside of a bigger box. He was going to make her open one after another, and by the time he was done, he had a box this big, and he gift-wrapped it beautifully and put bows and ribbons on it, put it under the tree, and she got up and started opening her gifts, and she opened this box, and she thought, this is something big. And then there was another box inside, and she opened that one, and there was another littler box, and she got all the way down. But as she was opening these boxes, she noticed something strange. There was a little hole in the corner of each one, and that mouse had eaten his way out through every one of those boxes, and he was gone. It was all empty box. But by the time she got to the center, she figured out what had happened. She knew what Eldon had put in there for her. So some of those little memories still, you know, we carry them through our whole life. That's what Christmas is about. Yes, ma'am.
We do exchange gifts. We don't have we have more money than we gave when we first married. Anyway, I remember one Christmas, Karen wanted a Mickey Mouse watch. She was going to get jewelry, but she wanted that watch. And I told my son, and he said, well, you have to go with me and point it out, so I did it. But we didn't tell her that he got it. He put it in a box, and he put rocks in there. And she went to her husband, and she said, Robert has gotten me a skirt that he knows I don't like. He said, Karen, remember, look. And that made her even more suspicious. And then Christmas morning, when she started opening her box, it was a big box. And she was thrilled over that watch. But she just knew it was going to be an old skirt that she wouldn't like.
Lots of good memories. Okay, I'm going to read one more of my Christmas poems, and then we'll close. 'Twas the night before Christmas, but something is wrong. It's our dear Savior's birthday, but he's left all alone. We're too busy with parties and holiday plans, forgetting the cruel nail scars in his loving hands. There are presents to buy and feasts to prepare, but for the gift of salvation, no one seems to care. I can hardly believe what his children do next. They drop his holy name and replace it with an X. On that night long ago, there was no room in the inn. Now, sadly, in our hearts, we find no room for him. Christmas is now nothing but a secular season, for all mankind has forsaken the reason. All spiritual significance is lost in the fray, and even the churches have little to say. This holy time of remembering and thinking is little more now than occasion for drinking. In the name of separating church and state, we have foolishly replaced love with hate. Through political quarrels and religious leanings, Christmas no longer has spiritual meaning. The time has come to get back to God's plan and realize that the only hope for man is to put our trust in His unchanging Word, to recall those Bible lessons we've heard, to acknowledge that our dependence is totally on Him, and not to trust in our vision that has grown so dim. For He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only answer to this man-made strife. Let's put Christ back in Christmas once more, for He is gently knocking at our heart's door. Then Christmas will be what it was intended, a season of love where hearts are mended. Let us pray. Our Father, what a beautiful message You have given us, the good news of the gospel to share with the world. May we tell it on the mountain and in the valley and everywhere we go. Let us share the good news that Jesus is returning soon. And may we each be found ready on that day to meet Him and to spend eternity in heaven with Him. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.